Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
The book of Romans is the longest letter written by Paul, and in it, he gives us a full picture of Christianity, revealing who Christ is to us and who we are to Christ, so that we can know His divine power, enjoy His precious promises, and live a resurrected life in the midst of these perilous times. For it is by His grace that we are saved, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So join in the conversation as we explore Romans chapter 1 and the gospel of God's grace. As we begin to explore Romans, Janie, we first want to look at Paul because he's the author of the book. And so an author needs credibility. Paul shares some credibility of who he is in the first chapter of Romans.
Sharon, I so agree with you because I know I have picked up a book and started to read it, and it sounded really pretty good. And then I would go check out the author, and I would realize the author had a very unstable background, or the training was a very liberal background, and there were some very good words being spoken. But that did not make the all-over message credible for the purpose of why I was reading the book.
Yeah.
So knowing the author these days, when we are in such perilous times,
yes,
is really a gift of grace from God that He has given us an author to deliver us the message of hope and grace and what it is to walk by faith.
And we have to remember, though, Janie, that Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles, bringing that hope and grace to all nations through faith in the finished work of the cross of Christ. So this message of God's grace was all new, a new way of salvation, a new covenant, a new people.
And we probably need to be very careful today that if we hear something new, that we need to validate it by whom we are hearing it from. Because there's a lot of falsehood, Sharon, today that's being commingled with truth. And the discouraging point is so many of our precious saints in the body of Christ are buying the social gospel of compromise and are very content with it.
Well, our society today has gone to a media means of communication, and so anybody with a cell phone has a microphone, has access to reaching the world with a click of a button.
Well, and you know, if you're not grounded, then you can take something in total innocence. And once again, the book of Romans and why we've chosen to really go through the book of Romans is to make sure that we've got a solid foundation so that when we see or listen or hear something, we're able to discern.
Right.
And we are commanded to discern right from wrong.
Right.
And the scriptures tell us that throughout constant different books. And Sharon, when Paul wrote Romans, he was not a novice. He was on his third missionary journey, and he had been wanting to get to Rome to see the people, and he had been hindered. He had heard of their faith, but you know what? He wanted to go see if what he heard was accurate.
Right.
Because many times we hear, oh, things are going great, things are going good, and when we get into the middle of a situation, we'll find that it looks good on the externals, but then as we listen and evaluate, we hear the internals and the eternals are still reflecting a wounded heart, a bitter heart, an uninformed heart, a struggling heart.
Right. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we see the heart of Paul in these first few verses, which adds to his credibility here in Romans. He says that he's separated as an apostle to the gospel of God, which he promised concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead.
Sharon, do you realize that those two verses explain that Jesus was human and divine in one body of the flesh? We used to give a test out to see how people related to who God was, who Jesus was, and they always really thought rather kindly of Jesus. Jesus was a good old boy, but they did not think kindly of Father God. He seems harsh. He seems cruel. He seems distant. He seems legalistic. He seems demanding. It's the same person. And we need to recognize that it was Jesus Christ in his humanity that set aside his divinity to go to the cross and absorb our sin. He did not be sin,
right?
But he absorbed our sin and paid the price that we could have eternal life.
And we also find that in John chapter 1, where there is the evidence of the deity of Christ, where in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name.
Jesus was God in the flesh with the same mind. Now, God has a particular way that he works as God in his calling. And then Jesus has a way that he makes that calling known to us in the flesh. And then the Holy Spirit is the guide to teach us how to walk in that. So that's where we get the word Trinity, which is three in one. It's the same Godhead, but we are seeing them in light of how we perceive things here on earth. So when we deny the grace of Jesus Christ through the mercy that has been given us, we then see what life is like without the power of the Spirit guiding us. And it's death, it's perversion, it's sickness, it's things that we can't comprehend.
Which explains why we are in the state that we're in our society, because of the rejection of God.
And to accept who God says he is in the person of Jesus Christ. Sharon, we have to accept that by faith.
Yes.
And people don't want to accept by faith what they can't see.
That's true.
And as we spiral downward in our socialistic society, we not only want to see it, but we want to see it right now.
Well, that's because our society has become a society of instantaneous gratification. We need instant answers and instant entertainment and instant food. So we like conveniences.
Now, let's just stop and think. Since we are in the society that we are in, everything is all about me.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus is here to serve me. If I'm going to really believe that God really loves me, then God's going to be loving me just the way I am.
Well, wait, you said Jesus is here to serve me. That screams loud to me, because that's what I hear in our Christian society today. It's all about how God can serve me, how he can bless me, how he can make my life more comfortable, more successful. It's really just a selfish mentality, a selfish Christianity.
You're making a very good point, Sharon, and I'm glad you brought it out, because In 1 John 2:12, it's a very simple little verse. It just says, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for you, for His name's sake." Mm. Here's how we read it when we think it. "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for you, for your sake."
Right.
It's all about me. And we have made Christianity a religion when really the gospel mentions to us just that one phrase, "for His name's sake," over 15 times. Sharon, we are here not for our comfort or pleasure. We are not here to just make Jesus look good. We're not here to do what we perceive to be His will according to our agenda.
Right.
We are here for His name's sake. And so if we are called to no hardship, Paul certainly did.
Yes.
If we are to know rejection and not ever make the top 10 popularity list, it's because we are here for His purpose.
And we're so focused on self that His purpose isn't even on our radar.
And you know, I think if the Lord had given Paul in detail what all of the things he must suffer, I'm not sure if Paul's heart could have stood it. Do you think that if God had told him in advance that he was going to be snake bit, shipwrecked, abandoned, persecuted, and finally beheaded, that Paul would have said, "Oh, what joy."
Right.
But you see, grace prepared him each step of the way. He didn't have to know all because he was told to walk by faith. And then he was told to trust the Lord day by day in everything that came his way. And he didn't give Paul the freedom to murmur and complain. Now, let's just stop and think about who was called by God and a friend of God and a mighty servant of God, but he walked by law, and that was Moses. And you know what? Moses was murmuring and complaining all the time. "Lord, these people, look at what they're asking of me. Lord, this burden is too great. I can't carry it all. Lord, they want to kill me. Lord," and he just was on and on and on and on. But he was living under law of the Ten Commandments. Paul had been set free to live under grace. And that should be a lesson for us. We are not saying that the law is bad because we know the law is very good and it has its purpose. But Sharon, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we refer to so often and we'll get to eventually in Romans has set us free to live in a way that other ages in the past did not have.
Yeah.
And that should make us all the more hungry to be willing to digest the book of Romans as one of the foundational books that we have.
And if we look at verse 5 of Romans 1, it says, "Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." And so continually throughout Scripture, in little ways like that we've really kind of overlooked, it's all for His name's sake, for His grace, for His peace, for His love to be seen.
His name's sake, His purpose, His love turns right back around and takes His righteousness and makes us righteous in Him. He sets us free from the penalty of sin, and that's a done deal, one-time act at the cross. And then today, daily, He sets us free from the power of sin. That's where He says that we can walk in newness of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, He sets us free from the presence of sin.
Mm.
And that's the hope and joy that we will find as we thumb through the pages of Romans and see how that grace is working with us so that the desires that we want to have, He has conformed to His likeness.
Oh, I really like that, Jamie. He sets us free from the penalty of sin that gives us life. He daily sets us free from the power of sin that we can live in victory. And that future hope that one day we will be set free from the presence of sin. And with that kind of freedom comes great peace.
Yes, and you know what? We can't know the peace of God until we know the grace of God. And on all of Paul's salutations, he says, "Grace and peace to you by the Lord Jesus Christ," or however mm-hmm. he does his salutations. So Sharon, should we ask the perplexing question to our listeners today that if you are tribulating in frustration, anxiety, depression, being overwhelmed with the circumstances, and you don't know the peace of God, perhaps you need to go back and learn about the grace of God, about the unmerited favor, how God doesn't play partiality with His grace. He doesn't say, "Oh, I'm going to give Sharon about 40% of my grace, and I'm going to give Janie just about 20% because she's kind of a hardball." No, if He can regulate grace and it is ever diminished in to different measures, it's not grace.
Right. Based on our performance or our production.
And Sharon, that's a good word of exhortation because you know what? We do want to measure out grace to people who give us a hard time or people who, let's say, are in the family of God, but still don't agree with you and make your life miserable with divisions.
Right.
Then we nullify what grace is all about. So as we want to receive grace in its fullness, we must pass grace in its fullness on to others.
That's the thing, Janie. A lot of times we want grace extended to us, but we don't know how to extend grace to others.
And again, you've brought up another good point, Sharon. In verse 9, Paul is saying, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." The point I'd like to emphasize in verse 9 is that He is working through His Spirit. As He goes on, He lets us know that we are three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And it's interesting here that Paul didn't say that he served God through his soul, his mind, will, and emotions, that was not where he was really geared, because man's soul can get us into trouble because it is mind, will, and emotions that are open to partiality, to not knowing how to live totally in grace.
Or opinions or self-seeking decision-making. But if it's the Spirit of God, then it is absolute. It's truth. It is foundational.
Well, and you said a really good word there. You said it's foundational. And in John 4:24, it says that God is spirit, and we must worship Him with our spirit. And Sharon, we are so comfortable with just hanging out in our soul, what feels good, what we can logically understand. Someone was talking to me not too long ago, and they said, "You know, Janie, you talk above their heads. They just don't understand you. And you just need to talk where they can understand you." And I said, "If they could understand me, they wouldn't have any need to grow."
Right.
So we have to be stretched. We have to get out of that comfort zone.
Well, and if you think about it, the traditions of our church activities encourages us to worship in our soul. To stand in the pew and clap your hands and sing the song and raise your hands or whatever the case may be. But there's no encouragement or understanding that it must be the Spirit worshiping God on a daily basis, not just when music's playing on Sunday morning.
And that's true. And you know what? Let's just declare, we're all in for people raising their hands in worship.
And clapping and singing.
If their heart is at the altar of surrender. But to get into an emotional ecstasy of a beautiful song, to be carried away with just the music, and then sit for the teaching and be resentful about somebody who's sitting two aisles up in front of you.
Right.
Nullifies the joy of the true worship. And when we have to worship the Lord in truth and in spirit, how dare we make the proudful assumption that we can be a hypocrite by thinking one thing and doing another?
Well, that's probably a lot of the reason why Christians today are called hypocrites, because we're letting our soul do all the walking instead of walking in the Spirit from our heart.
It's got to be from the heart if we're going to be acceptable to what the Apostle Paul is bringing us, that we can live in life abundant now.
Right.
We don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy a resurrected life. Paul tells us in Romans 1, and he tells us almost in every other chapter in Romans, that that's a life that is the normal Christian life, not the abnormal, supernormal for just a few saints. It's for all of us to be able to walk in newness of life.
And that's found in Romans 6. We also should walk in newness of life, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection.
And look at the price that Paul paid so that we could have that. We probably won't have to be shipwrecked.
Snake bit.
Beaten.
Stoned.
Beaten.
Yeah.
Left for dead.
Jailed. Maybe.
Maybe. Rejected. But you know, if you're seeking, let me make one other point here. If you really are seeking to know Jesus Christ, as Paul tells us in Romans, and then he reiterates it over in Philippians, you've got to know him, the power of his resurrection. If we're really wanting that, then we need to be content with recognizing that we probably won't be in the middle of the social circles.
Yeah.
We're still in the same family. But there will be different priorities, and we need to be content, Sharon, to hold our ground gently, lovingly, but absolutely. Because if we have been able to see what Paul is asking us to see, then it's going to separate us from many people who are content to just be content with comfort. And that's one of the main messages that Romans is wanting to tell us.
So Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, says that he is ready to preach the gospel. He is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. And that should be our example today, to live in the gospel of God's grace. That's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.